This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Tex and Adam in the studio with you tonight from the health promotion program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Thanks to the boys from Let's Talk Footy for their fantastic debut show. Woo! Boys did very well.
It was a fantastic show, Adam, and it looks like Let's Talk Footy is going to be the show to listen to before you tune into Well, Well, Well.
Oh, definitely. I actually liked that little call about the free kicks for the West Coast Eagles.
You did.
I actually thought that was very funny. Right. Very true.
Thank you, Adam.
Tex, what's on the show this week?
Oh, look, Adam, we have a great show tonight. As always, look, I always say we have a great show, but indeed tonight we do have a great show. We have a fantastic guest on our show tonight. We have David O'Keefe from the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society, who's going to be coming in to talk about prostate cancer and gay men.
Ah.
Now, look, as well as that, we'll be covering a bit of HIV news and health news, that sort of thing, and then later on during the show we'll have a few snippets of other news. But, Adam, we love to hear from our listener. Mm-hmm. Now, I know Jeanette's out there on the phone.
That's
so
true.
How can the listener get in contact with us tonight?
Many, many, many ways, Texas. So you can phone Jeanette and speak to her directly on 1300-JOY-949. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can SMS 0427-JOY-949. Or you can like us on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy.
So there's quite a few platforms, one could say.
Many, many platforms, as I did say.
Thank you, Adam. This is a Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. That's right. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And we do have a snippet of news tonight. And so I suppose, as we always, I'm taking my paperclip off so that we can shuffle the papers. And we shuffle the papers so that it sounds like that we're here in a newsroom.
They look straight down the teleprompter and tell the people what they want to hear, Tex.
Indeed, look, I'm looking straight down that teleprompter as we speak. Now, tonight we have a story which, it's hitting the airwaves, it's hitting the platforms, it's hitting everywhere because it's big news out of the United States of America. And we're looking at it from a story out of Star Observer, one of the gay and lesbian newspapers here in Melbourne, Star Observer. One word, .com.au. But I also saw that it was on one of our popular sites that we go and look at, AIDSMAP.com, which has fantastic information, all sorts of stuff about anything to do with HIV and sexually transmitted infections. But this is a report out of the United States of America, and it's a story from the United States Food and Drug Administration. And this is about the over-the-counter rapid HIV test, which has been approved for people to do away from a medical setting, I suppose, is one of the easiest ways to say it. It's a home-based test.
That is correct. Yeah, it's a test that's been approved, obviously, like you said, by the FDA. It's an ORAQuick in-home HIV test, which means you actually swab the upper and the lower limits or the gums around there, and you can actually get provided with the test results within 30 to 40 minutes. I guess the difficulty with home sort of based test kits, really, in terms of HIV results, is what do you actually do if the test comes up positive?
Indeed. And, of course, when someone's having a test in a clinical setting, you've had some pre-test counselling, and then after you get the result, whether the result is negative or positive, there's post-test counselling. But with this particular test, it's a test that people do in their own home or wherever.
Yeah.
They can buy the test. They will be able to buy the test in pharmacies as drug stores, as they call them in the United States. In convenience stores like 24/7 stores, as well as supermarkets and that sort of place. But it's generally going to be places where you have to buy them over the counter. I suppose a bit like cigarettes, you have to buy over the counter because they can only be sold to people, I think, over the age of 17. Well, 17 or 18. There is an age listed in there somewhere.
I think they said they were going to do it for 17 and you'd actually have to show photo ID. Yeah. And that was in the New York Times. But just in terms of actually doing, I guess, a HIV test result at home, in the privacy of your own home when nobody's around, the test results are actually not conclusive. So anyone who's given a positive test result or a negative test result is actually indicated to actually go and get confirmation blood tests, which would be the usual tests.
Yeah.
But in terms of, I guess, the sensitivity and specificity of the tests, which basically means how many false positives and how many false negatives there are, what did it say? It said that 92% of, I guess, people who are HIV positive will actually come up with a positive diagnosis, which means that 8% of the time, someone who's positive will actually come up with a negative result.
So, you know, it's, you know, it's arguable, actually, whether this test is going to be worthwhile. But it certainly is a test which a lot of people have been clamouring for the test to be available as a home test kit. We, of course, in Australia are still waiting for the rapid HIV testing kits, which will be provided in a medical setting. There are heaps of countries around the world, including places like first world countries like the UK and the United States of America, a lot of places in Europe, but also in some third world countries as well, parts of Africa, where you can actually have a rapid HIV test in a clinical setting where you get the result within 30 minutes.
Yeah, and I think that's got a little bit more to do in terms of resource poor settings. So they really don't have a blood lab test that we would sort of have here in terms of pathology, where they can send away results like that. So in terms of, I guess, you know, resource-poor settings, that's the most effective way in terms of getting a diagnosis.
Oh, look, indeed. And it is quite interesting that we are the test here, the HIV rapid test for clinical settings, is still going through the Therapeutic Goods Administration, and it is probably at least 12 months or more before it will be approved for a clinical setting test here in Australia, let alone this home-based test, which then will need to go through its own series of tests here in Australia. So it doesn't matter that something has been approved in the United States of America or elsewhere through their testing authorities. The testing authorities here, the Therapeutic Goods Administration, needs to go through and do the testing.
Yeah, I guess the interesting aspect about home-based testing is this the first time the FDA have actually let or approved one of these, I guess, self-tests?
There was another in-home test and it was approved in 1996, but this actually involved you doing the test at home and then sending the tests off to a lab, and then the results were posted back to you. So this is not instantaneous, but it gives you the results within a very short period of time.
Yeah, I guess I'm just a little bit concerned in terms of, like you said before, the pre and post-test counselling, which is actually kind of instrumental in terms, because sometimes getting a HIV test can be quite daunting, especially if you don't know what the results might be, if something's happened or if a condom's broke and you haven't accessed PEP, which is post-exposure prophylaxis, which is anti-HIV medication, which can help prevent you from becoming HIV positive.
Yep.
So I guess without that pre and post-test counselling, I'm just kind of worried, and I think that's what a lot of people on one side of the debate have said, that if people actually do get a positive result, that they would be absolutely distraught, things might happen, they might feel that their life is over, or just things that might run through your head. And I think that's some of the reasons that they were sort of saying that this probably shouldn't be approved. But I think the guidelines have quite set out, and I think the way the home test will be set up in terms of the kit that will come with it will actually have clear instructions about what you should do, numbers you should call, people you should speak to if you actually do come up with a positive result.
And that's why the actual they're already talking about the cost in the United States of America, the cost being supplied to doctors, for example, or people in medical settings. It's about $17.50 US, which is more or less close to $17.50 Australian at the moment.
Yes.
But they're talking about that it may cost $30-$35 even more, because they're going to have to put all of this different packaging in, which is going to include support lines. line so that if people do get a positive test result, they can ring a support line, or if people get a HIV negative result and they want to question that particular result, they will be able to ring our version, I suppose, of a 1300 or a 1800 number, to actually speak to someone about those results and all of the different packaging that will be necessary when, you know, they're putting in all that different sort of how to get help information as well. So it's going to be rolled out to about 30,000 pharmacies, grocery stores and online retailers from October. So it's not that far away.
No,
so
just around the corner.
It's approved. They're working on the packaging. They're getting it out. So it'll be very interesting to hear what the results are from, what it's like when it's actually put in operation.
Well, exactly. I mean, there's lots of talk about how it's going to work in a real-world context, but there's a lot of theory behind that. So how it actually does work in a real-world context could be completely and utterly different.
Indeed. We need to hear a couple of important messages. This is Well here on Joy 94.9. This is Adam and Tex here on Well here on Joy 94.9. And we are joined in the studio tonight by David O'Keefe, who is certainly no stranger to the Joy Studio. David is a former colleague of Adam and mine at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, but he has since moved on, and we're going to find out about where he's working and what he's doing. But David's here to talk to us tonight about something new. Good evening, David, and welcome back to Well.
Thank you very much, Texas. Nice to be back.
It's lovely to have you here, Dole. Now, last time we spoke here on Joy on Well, I think it was about the now-ended Connect study. Now, you've got a new job, and we'll talk about that in a tick, but first, a little bit about yourself, for perhaps the listener who may not have heard last time you were here on the show. Where are you from? What have you done? And I mean work-wise. What have you done work-wise before, Dale? Where are you from?
Okay. I've lived in WA for a long time and moved to Victoria relatively recently. And in that time, I've worked at VAC. And now I'm working at La Trobe University at the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society.
And what do they do?
I'm glad you asked. Basically, the Arches is a research centre based here in the city, and it carries out research into many different aspects of sex, health and society here in Australia, looking at education, research and other multidisciplinary areas in that field.
So it's a broad sort of coverage in terms of the research projects that they do.
Yes, most definitely. Mm. Yeah.
And so what are you actually working on now specifically?
I've been employed to do research, or actually as part of research fellow for the Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and Arches into prostate cancer in gay, bisexual men.
Oh, okay. And how did that sort of research subject come up?
Well, that's a really good question, because there's been this basic understanding that in terms of information access for gay men, by gay and bisexual men, within the area of prostate cancer, there's very little information specific to gay and bisexual men. Mm-hmm. And then there's a need to fill that gap.
So is it generally understood that guys will go and see a doctor and a doctor will automatically bring the topic up and talk to them? Is that a generally understood thing, or is this meant to address that may not happen?
Well, the base from what our understanding is that information is not offered by their doctor. And also in terms of general health, allied health providers as well, there's very little information out there. And unless the actual person offers the fact they may be gay or bisexual, the information provided is very much in tune focused upon being a straight man.
Now, David, you've actually picked a piece of music tonight, which I almost collapsed when you told me what song you wanted to... Maybe not what song, but perhaps what artist you wanted to hear. Because I am often accused here at Joy 94.9 of only requesting the immortal, the one and only She Does Smile Down from the Heavens Upon Us. Yes, indeed, I'm talking about Dusty Springfield. And you've requested a Dusty Springfield song. The song is The Look of Love. Now, why this song? Is it dedicated to anyone in particular?
And Tex sort of winks at himself there.
It's for you, Tex, of course.
No, what I meant is it for your lovely partner, Graham, or perhaps for someone else?
Oh, no, Graham. It'd have to be Graham.
Oh, yeah. That's sweet.
Well, I think perhaps if that's the case, we should listen to it now. This is Whirl, Whirl, Whirl here on Joy 94.9.
So catch me.
Indeed it is, Joy, and this is Whoa, Whoa, Whoa with Adam and Tex, and our guest tonight is David from the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society, talking about prostate cancer in gay men. And, of course, that song was I Think I'm Going Home, which is, perhaps we should have played that just before 8 o'clock, because that, before 9 o'clock, that's when we will be going home. I think we'll play that that dusty track a little bit later, and we might just reschedule the music, maybe sometime after 8:30.
You want to play it again?
Not that one. We'll play the other one, the one we were meant to play.
Oh, why don't we just call this the Dusty Show?
Thank you, Adam. That would be a good idea. Thanks, Graham. David. Thank you. Called you by partner's name. Now, David, your new work, as you've said, it involves prostate cancer. Now, look, for those like me who may be a little hazy on the topic, just what is prostate cancer? What's it involve?
Well, look, like any cancer, it's the abnormal growth of cells within the body, in this case, the prostate, and it forms a lump within the prostate, and if it's not treated, it can spread to other organs, generally in the form of a tumour. But look, it's generally treatable if caught early enough, and that's the important thing that needs for men to go along to the doctor if they have any issues around with their prostate.
And I guess for me, I'm not too familiar with prostate cancer, but generically, you know, I guess maybe it's a misconception or a myth that it actually is only affecting older men. Like, can you actually tell us what or who prostate cancer primarily affects?
Sure. And look, generally speaking, it is older men 50 plus, although there have been instances of men 40 plus onwards having the prostate cancer. And most recent figures I had in 2010, 20,000 men in Australia were diagnosed.
Wow.
So it is quite a large number with prostate cancer.
Oh, sorry, Dave, can I just say, 20,000 men, is that 20,000 men a year? Or 20,000 in total, a cumulative total over a period of time?
Well, this is the figures I have, yeah. So,
so it would be 20,000 a year.
Yeah.
Cripes.
Oh, and look, I should check that. I kind of
put you on the spot.
In terms of the cancer itself, mainly if a man has had a family history of prostate cancer, there's the possibility that will have elevated chance of actually having the cancer themselves. And the other factor is if you happen to be African or African American, you also have a higher chance. Now, I don't know what the reason behind that is. But that's another factor. And also transgendered women.
Right.
Another community that would, you know, be susceptible to prostate cancer.
Or higher prevalence.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And so are there any other, I guess, environmental risk factors? Or is it all just the genetic ones that you mentioned there?
There's no clear evidence of actual environmental factors in the research that I've looked at anyway.
Yeah.
The symptoms, though, in terms of actual prostate cancer are things like frequent urination.
Okay.
A sudden urge to urinate. Difficulty then in the urination process, and that could be like slow interrupted flow, dribbling, possible pain during urination. Also blood in urine and semen. However, I must clarify that this does not indicate or mean that you actually have prostate cancer or some sort of prostate issue. Yep. It could be something else. So don't just because that's happening does not indicate prostate cancer. But the clear thing is, if that's happening, you should actually be seeing your doctor anyway.
Yes.
And that I was going to say that sometimes, you know, there's an expression people talking about, when I'm pissing, it's like I'm pissing razor blades. Now, sometimes that can be a sexually transmitted infection. So, really great word from you there is to, if there is anything wrong, to go and see a doctor.
Yeah, because I must emphasize, it's not, and that just because these things happen does not indicate cancer. And that's the last thing I want to make people think, oh, I'm having these problems, therefore I must have prostate cancer, because it may not be the case.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, David, that you said that it's men over 50, because I am unashamedly over 50. I'm now 54. My doctor first talked to me, although I think I talked to my doctor about prostate cancer when I was over 51, and said, you know, hey, is it about time I had a test? And the doctor actually said, well, nowadays some doctors are saying you can start testing at 45. And I said, oh, goody, does that mean I get 5 or 6 years worth of testing all in one go? And he said, no, it would just be one. It would just be one.
Jesus.
But look, I've been for prostate cancer tests, and it's been a blood test. And I've been for prostate cancer tests, and it's been the physical examination. Is it unusual for people for doctors perhaps to just do the blood test or to just do the physical examination?
In terms of what the doctor suggests, I think it's up to the individual doctor, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And it's always important that you, when you speak to your doctor, you're informed of what's going on and ask him or her what would be the best thing.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and you're joined by Adam, Tex, and our guest tonight, David, from the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society. And, of course, we are talking about prostate cancer.
So, David, you mentioned before that there was a discrepancy in terms of the information that was available, I guess, for gay and bisexual men in terms of prostate cancer information. So, I guess, are there any differences as to how prostate cancer affects gay, bisexual and transgender community differently to the straight or heterosexual male community?
In terms of the actual disease itself, not specifically, but in terms of the provision of information, there is a big gap, a massive gap, actually. And the reason why we've launched this study is basically we want to help the Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia to make more relevant resources for gay and bisexual men. The provision of information at the moment, and there was an audit done last year by Arches for Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia, that the information provided is very straight specific, really, and it doesn't address the issues or needs of gay and bisexual men. And that's hence why this study has come about.
And so as a gay and bisexual man, what types of information would I be looking for if I'd been diagnosed with prostate cancer? Are there things that are specific to, I guess, relationships or, I guess, sex or other medications and stuff like that?
Well, in terms of medications, if a person, for instance, a person may is HIV positive, there could be issues around how their medication interacts with the medication for prostate and cancer, and as also radiotherapy or chemotherapy if it's involved in the treatment of prostate cancer. Then again, issues around sexuality, sexual function, experiences, relationships. Even for straight men, there's very little in terms of talking about how to, say, enhance sex life, for instance, or sexual pleasure. Now, if that's so limited for straight men, then unfortunately for gay men, there's nothing or very, very little there.
So you'd be expecting to get the message out and about, and you'd be utilising services like Joy 94.9 as well as the print media community, the print media we have in the gay and lesbian community, Melbourne Community Voice and Southern Star, and other forms. I mean, imagine you'll be getting out and about to get as much information out as possible for people to find out about this particular study.
Oh, most definitely, we're looking for men who have had some experience of prostate-related health issues to get in contact with us, or me specifically, to be involved in the study.
Okie doke, and we will be exploring and asking you, well, you know, how do they get in contact later on tonight?
Yeah, sure.
Now, David, earlier I did attempt to play a particular song for you, one that you requested, and as Adam rightly suggested, this is becoming the Dusty Springfield Hour.
It certainly is.
Although it will actually be, in total, probably about the Dusty Springfield 7.5 minutes, because this is music from the last millennium and music from the 60s and 70s when they knew knew how to play tracks, record tracks that allowed lots of talk in between the music. So we're going to have another go at hearing the immortal Dusty Springfield singing The Look of Love, which you were dedicating to your gorgeous partner, Graham.
Yes,
so Graham, I predict this song is just for you.
If you'll only give me time.
That is correct. And the equipment's not liking me tonight. It's loving Dusty, but it's not liking me. So I'm not particularly sure what that song was, but it was a particularly gorgeous song. And in fact, if you know, perhaps you could send us in an SMS or you could put a message on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. I thought you were looking there.
Trying to find it, but I didn't realise how many songs Dusty actually has.
It might have been called Stay a While or something. But then again, if Carol Wilkinson was listening, one of the ex-presidents of Joy, she certainly would know. Yes, Adam?
I actually think you're doing this on purpose.
So
you're
we saying, can have as many Dusties as possible.
I'm looking for this Dusty song. Oh, I actually hit number one instead of number three. Oh, sorry.
Anyhow, doing that. This is Well, of course, on Joy 94.9, the Adam and Tex Bickering Show. And tonight we are talking with David O'Keefe from the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society, and we're talking about prostate cancer. Now, David, are there any particular types of information you're looking for when you're doing this study?
Yes.
The work you're doing.
Yes, most definitely. Mm-hmm. In terms of the study itself, we're looking for men's experiences of accessing the information they need.
Right.
Not necessarily what your doctor or your nurse or your oncologist or urologist or whoever the health professional is, but what you need as a gay or bisexual man who has a prostate health issue. And so hence we're hoping that men will come forward and be able to offer the information they want or looking for. And also consider like where they want the information. Do they want to get the information from their doctor? Do they trust their doctor to be the sort of person who can provide them with the information they want? What would they like to see in the information that they receive from those people? The amount of detail that needs to go into that sort of information they're looking for. Do they really want the technical stuff to do with... Sorry, Adam. To do with prostate cancer, like going into the nitty-gritty of all the scientific jargon associated with the surgery or the radiotherapy or the drugs they're on. And also information that would... think about what kind of information they would have made their experience easier when they had their diagnoses or they had their health issue associated with the prostate. And what would they like to see be made more available in the future, say for men who may have an issue with their prostate.
And how many men are you looking for to take part in this study?
In terms of the study itself, we're looking for six focus groups.
Mm-hmm.
And four of those will be based here in Melbourne.
Right.
And in those focus groups, we're looking between 6 and 8 men. Yeah, so on total, say 32. And look, if I get more, that'd be nice. Mm-hmm. In terms of men who can. And sad to say, it'd be great if we could go all over Australia, but we're based here in Melbourne and it has to be Melbourne.
And you actually said, I'm looking for four groups based in Melbourne.
Yeah, and
you
so,
said
and
six groups.
So the other two will be based in Sydney.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so going up to Sydney to interview those groups.
So how can interested men or men who are interested in, I guess, participating or providing their information and their advice and their experiences, how can they actually get in contact with you to take part in this study?
Well, there's two main ways, either by phone or through email. They can contact me. The easiest way would probably be to give me a call, and that number is 03-9285-5291, and if I'm not there, please leave a message on the answering machine. I'll get back to them as soon as I can, or otherwise they can send me an email. Mm-hmm. And that email address is d.okeffe@latrobe.edu.au.
And we'll be able to repeat that after we've played the next track when we're looking at our snippets of information as well.
Please don't let it be a dusty song.
Please do text.
It's not a dusty song, actually.
Text. I can take him outside and sort him out.
I'm going to be allowing you to do that. David, thanks for coming in tonight. I'd really be interested in getting you back in the future when you've had some results, perhaps when you're getting the information out there and recruiting the people, or when you've actually recruited the people and there's actually been a bit of feedback to say, well, this is how we want to hear this information. I mean, it may well be that people say we want to hear it as a community service announcement on Joy, or we want to see it in a newspaper, we want to see it on a website, we want a brochure that we can pick up somewhere, perhaps from a gay clinic or from a straight clinic. I mean, it's the world's your oyster, really, in getting the information out there. And it'll be interesting to hear how men want to hear the information.
Oh, most definitely, Tex. And I'd be very happy to come back and share that information with you in future days. And thanks very much for having me on the show tonight. It's always great to hear Dusty twice.
Well, actually, just on that note, Graham has actually just let us know he wants more Dusty.
Oh, so, well done, Graham.
Well, Graham, unfortunately, I'm working under strict instructions, and Adam has a very sharp instrument pointed at my head, so we won't be hearing any more Dusty at the moment. We are going to hear a very gorgeous track, and Graham, we will be dedicating the particular track to you because it aptly sums you up. Right now, though, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Is she really going out with him?
Well, there she is. Let's ask her.
Betty, is that Jimmy's ring you're wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, it must be great riding with him. Is he picking you up after school today?
Mm-mm.
By the way, where'd you meet him?
Oh, indeed. And, of course, you couldn't possibly think that track was tired or boring. It might have been a bit old, but it certainly wasn't tired and boring. It was the leader of the pack, and it was, of course, by the Shangri-Las, and the machine behaved and played the right track. That was dedicated to Graham, who messaged in saying that he'd like to hear more Dusty.
Perhaps I thought it was Dusty.
2 or 3 weeks' time. Hardly. It was a very butch voice for Dusty, darling. I know she may have been a lesbian, but she didn't have a butch voice. Well, not that butch, anyway.
But...
Unless she could have spoken into a voice distorter. Anyway, we are here on Well, Well, Well with Tex and Adam, and it's our last segment. We're heading towards the end of the show. I can't believe it either. But it's that time of the show when we have some snippets of news, so we suggest that perhaps you, if you have a pen and paper handy, there are some phone numbers or some website addresses or email addresses to give out to you. Or if you're in the 21st century, perhaps you've got your iPad or another platform handy. So that you can tap in all of the information or ghost it into an invisible screen or however modern technology works. I just wanted to let people know first off that guys who are interested in finding out about that prostate study cancer study can talk to David. He left us with his phone number, 9285 5291. 9285 5291. Now, he's not going to be chained to the desk, although he might enjoy that. There is an answering machine so that if he's not there, you'll be able to leave a message. Now, Adam, what else have we got to talk about tonight?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I joke. Lots
darling,
of stuff to
you
talk
are
about.
So funny.
I think so. Not a lot of other people do.
No.
Well, I guess, you know, first, you should probably like the Victorian AIDS Council / Gay Men's Health Centre Facebook page, which is facebook.com/VAC.GMHC. So obviously, got to emphasise that dot, otherwise you won't find us.
That's right.
Or you can find us via the Joy website, which is joy.org.au. So on the page, we have plenty of interesting information, including HIV news, updates, community events, information about our services, what we're up to as an organisation, giveaways.
Oh, giveaways.
Who doesn't love a giveaway?
Oh, indeed, yep.
So on our Facebook page, you can also ask and we'll respond to some questions. You can tell us what you think or even send us a message. So we'd love to hear from you. So remember to like facebook.com/VAC.GMHC and you won't miss out on anything.
Indeed. That's really interesting information. And, of course, you can find us from the Joy website, as Adam said, joy.org.au. And, of course, you can find out all sorts of Facebook pages and Twitter feeds, all sorts of blogs from all different sorts of shows here on Joy 94.9. Another group which I would like to talk about and just mention tonight is Vintage Men. Now, Vintage Men is a confidential social and support group for mature, gay and bisexual men. And what they mean by mature is guys aged 45 and over. They have regular meetings. They have regular meetings at the Betty Day Centre in St Kilda, but they also have meetings far and wide. They go on picnics, they go bushwalking, they invite people into their own homes where they play show tunes.
Oh, right.
Who knows, they might even play the Immortal Dusty.
Oh, gosh.
But they have movie nights, so whether it's movie or movie days where people go, where you can go out to the theatre or pop into someone's home to see some home theatre, all sorts of activities. So they have something to interest most people. Now, if you'd like more information, you can visit their website, the webpage. It's really easy. Vintage Men, one word, vintagemen.org. Really simple. Or if you'd like to speak to a real life person, you can try ringing 9776 8667. Now, I'll say that again because it's a bit confusing. 9776 8667. And like David's number, there's an answering machine there as well, so if there's no one available, you can leave some details and they'll get back to you. Of course, it's a confidential service, so you can feel really comfortable leaving your number, a contact number there.
Yes, and I guess something else that's going on is the Quit Fresh Start course.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yes, I know.
The one Jason likes to read out.
Yes, he does. He loves it. And I don't know why we're reading it out, but it's obviously a very good course. But look, in partnership with Quit Victoria, People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria provides this free 4-week course for all people living with HIV AIDS who wish to quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So the course covers understanding smoking, planning to quit, health effects, quitting methods, coping without cigarettes, physically and emotionally, because they're both very important.
Really, really important, yeah.
Staying stopped in the short term and the long term, and enjoying being a non-smoker forever. I guess so. If you want to find out more information, or if you'd like to book and be a part of the course, call 9863 8733. That's 9863 8733.
Indeed, and look, I was just mentioning Vintage Men a short second ago, and I've just noticed in this current week, which as of tomorrow will be last week's, but the current week's edition of Star Observer, there's an advertisement from Vintage Men, or a notification from Vintage Men, saying that they have an event coming up on the 23rd of July, so plenty of time to get ready for it. It's Noel's Carousel Club. It's happening at the Betty Day Centre, 67 Argyle Street in St Kilda, from 7:30 p.m. Bring a CD, or Adam, you might not understand this language, bring a CD or an LP.
An LP? Yeah. A lung puncture?
No, a long playing vinyl record with a track of your favourite music. So it could be that your favourite music is death metal. It could be your favourite music is Dolly Parton. Who knows?
Dusty Springfield.
Or Dusty Springfield. I'll let you say it. That's Noel's Carousel Club at the Betty Day Centre, 67 Argyle Street, St Kilda, 7:30 p.m. on the 23rd of July. And of course, if you want more details about Vintage Men, then just get onto their website, vintagemen.org. So vintagemen, one word, .org. Vintagemen.org. Time is fleeting and it's almost time to go, but not quite yet. The Phoenix Workshop, I thought we could mention really quickly.
Oh, yes.
It's for newly diagnosed men who are gay or bisexual and living with HIV. And when they say recently diagnosed, they mean within the last 2 years or so. So if you've been recently diagnosed with HIV and you think, what the heck do I do now? Who can I talk to? People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria Phoenix Workshop is where you can find the answers and, really importantly, get some support. It's an opportunity for gay and bisexual men who have been diagnosed HIV relatively recently to meet other recently diagnosed men, share their experiences in a safe and supportive environment, learning strategies for managing and making sense of HIV, exploring the issues around disclosure, who to disclose to, when to do it, do you need to disclose, and also stuff about negotiating sex and relationships. You can find out how to maintain your sexual health and then find out about the different services and agencies that are available and make plans for the future. Now, confidentiality is assured, and if you'd like more information or to book a place for the next course, you can call Vic on 9863 8733, 9863 8733. Now, Adam, you won't believe it. It happens every week.
What?
It's that time.
It can't be.
It is. It's that time to say goodnight. Come out. Next, of course, is Hide and Seek with the remarkable Dean and the wonderful Andrew. Anyone you want to say hello to?
I'd like to say hi to me mum. Hi, mum.
Hi, mum. Hi, and thanks to David, and hi to Graham, who messaged in saying he loves Dusty. Big thanks to our telephone support person, Jeanette, who was rushing in to tell me what the names of those tracks were by Dusty. To Warren in Cairns, Wayne in Nimbin, and to Deb in Reservoir, plus everyone else is listening. So a really big hello to you. We'll be back with more of Well, Well, Well next week. And after some important messages, we're going to hear a track, Twist and Shout, by Brian Poole and the Tremolos.
I bet you it's going to be a Dusty song.
It's not a Dusty song. This is Well, Well, Well. And Jason and Adam will be back with you next week. Cheers, everyone, and good night.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.